From KUAR News in Little Rock, I'm Jacob Kaufman. Paul Spencer, one of four candidates for the 2nd Congressional District race in the Democratic primary, joins me on the phone. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me, Jacob.
Sure thing. And the other candidates I'll mention, Gwen Combs, Jonathan Dunkley, and Clark Tucker. We're going to start off this interview discussing the economy. It's a pretty broad topic, but it's one that voters consistently, it seems election after election, identify as their top priority. So to begin with, I wanted to know what your assessment is of the 2nd District's economy. What makes the 2nd District's economy work or not work?
Well, I think it's first fair to establish the fact that Arkansas is the second poorest state in the union, and that we have a pretty low average income here in Arkansas. The 2nd District, what makes our economy work? I think that's a question that that a lot of folks are looking for the answer to. Some of the things that I would say probably don't help the economy work are the new tax proposal that was just launched last year. I think those things are going to end up hurting Arkansans more than helping in the long run. I think the health care issue, I always looked at the health care issue as an economic issue. So a lot of folks here, at least the ones a lot that we're talking to in some of the more rural areas, and even here in central Arkansas, they're very concerned about the costs of health care, and that oftentimes leaves them, a little financially disadvantaged from time to time. So I think there are a lot of ways that we can go about this by looking at the taxes, we're looking at health care economy-wise with regards to business coming to central Arkansas. I think that, we've seen in the past a lot of companies coming in from the outside, and this isn't just the Arkansas 2nd District, it's the Arkansas as well. And they'll come here for the tax breaks, and after a short period of time, they tend to abandon us, and we leave, a bunch of folks unemployed, probably a little worse off than they were when we started.
We'll get into that in a second, but first let's jump back to something you brought up, the tax code. Of course, that's one of the major accomplishments that the incumbent Republican Congressman French Hill will tout in November, the big tax cut package. I want you to, describe what your assessment of that tax cut deal and how you'd want the tax code to be changed.
Well, it's the overall assessment of that is it's another big giveaway to corporations and the wealthy. It does provide some relief in the short term for working class families, but in the long term, after a lot of those benefits expire, we're right back to the status quo. Only, of course, the ones for the wealthier folks and the corporations, they stay in effect, where the ones for the lower wage earners and the middle class tend to expire. So I think, it just seems to me it smacks of a giveaway to the wealthy donor class.
If we had to look at broadly the role of the government in the economy, the role of the government in creating jobs, you alluded to one approach earlier that Republicans favor that you don't, and which would be giving incentives to corporations through tax breaks and the like. On the other spectrum, we have people like Bernie Sanders and Cory Booker, U.S. senators, in favor of the idea of government having a full jobs guarantee, some sort of program like that. So what is the nature, what extent should government be involved in job creation?
Well, I think it should have a hand, and we've seen over our history one of the most prosperous times of our economy was, we were during the Eisenhower administration and beyond that a little bit, and I guess prior to that. But the government uses its power to create incentives and so forth. But when you create a job force that's well trained, and when you create opportunity. That right now, whenever we look at opportunity coming to the states, it usually comes with a price tag for the people, and I think the role of government in this should be we've always had a Keynesian model forever and a day, and then we kind of went by the wayside with that, and the government's allowed to use its authority to basically broker between the workers and management to come up with the best working climate, and what you end up with is full employment, and with that employment comes prosperity. I think that this trickle down economic model that we tend to look at as the norm since the days of Reagan, it's failed us every time we've tried to employ it. As far as the Sanders plan and so forth, and Cory Booker, yeah. I think that those are definitely ways that we should be investigating, and you know, I'm not yeah. advocating for a guaranteed income or anything like that. But certainly we need to pay our workers a fair minimum wage. And I think the only way we're going to get that if it's done at a federal level, you know, if you rely on the states to do that, you're going to have states, you know, some will eagerly go for that, others will buck that till their dying day. So right. only on the federal level, I think can we guarantee that kind of increase in earners for the United States in general. But
continue.
I think the
yeah.
federal government definitely needs to have a role in this. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
That's fine. Continuing on that minimum wage topic, all four candidates support raising the minimum wage, not all to the same dollar amount. What I want to ask, though, to flip this question a little bit, because I think listeners have had an opportunity to know about the minimum wage stances. Well, it's kind of an income inequality question. There's very few places, but nations like Israel, for instance, they have laws that tie maximum wages that a CEO can make based on the lowest paid employee. Do you think there should be any kind of maximum wage or ratio law or something like that in an ideal world?
Well, you know, I'm not as familiar with that Israeli model as I'd like to be, but I will say that, you know, I don't really want to say that you put a limit on what one can earn. I think justice should be a primary goal in wage justice, and you know, I think there is a pretty egregious gap if you look at that top percentage of highest wage earners. But I think that you can also, what I find troubling is that when you have these wage earners that make, you know, just such an enormous quantity of money, what typically happens, you know, those folks are so wealthy, there's only so many cars you can put in your garage. There's only washing machines you can buy. So what do you do with that extra money? Well, you can invest that, but a lot of times you end up investing that in buying members of Congress, you know, because of the rotten campaign finance laws we have here. So, you know, I guess a lot of it is predicated on where that money goes. You know, I'm a firm believer that it's not money that's the root of all evil, but I believe it is the love of money that is the root of all evil. And that definitely plays out in politics. I don't believe that I really want to see people penalized for being wealthy, but I would like to see people penalized for treating their workers as just a simple means to an end. And you know, like another machine in the assembly line of the economy. So, you know, I guess depending on what the proposal stipulated, I would have to look at that. But I've never considered that as a goal of mine at this point in time.
Sure. I've been speaking with Paul Spencer, one of four candidates for the U.S. House seat in Central Arkansas. The other candidates, Gwen Combs, Clark Tucker, and Jonathan Dunkley. Paul Spencer, thanks so much.
Thank you.